Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the 2019 Youth Education Conference, held in Williamsburg, Virginia.
My name is Suzette Conrad, and this is Hokie Hieroglyphs. Okay, so just kind of get a range of the room here. Has anyone ever studied any kind of hieroglyphs before, even vaguely, like you've looked at the alphabet and you've spelled out your name? Maybe. Okay, vaguely. Anyone gone a little more deeper than that?
Nope.
Not so much. Okay, we've got a couple hands. Great. So this is really kind of a crash course into hieroglyphs. It's kind of to give you a little bit of taste to let you know this is kind of what it's like. That way, if it's something you are interested, you can delve deeper into it when we're done. So some things we're gonna cover, we're gonna look at the alphabet, we're gonna kind of go over sentence structure, we're gonna learn to write your name, we're gonna look over numbers, and we'll go into a little bit about the history for it. Very basic. Hieroglyphs are, specifically Egyptian hieroglyphs, are a form of writing that the ancient Egyptians used way back in the BC days. So instead of using English letters like we have A, B, and C, many other languages like Spanish and French use the same kind of alphabet. They use little pictures to represent sounds and concepts. And so the word hieroglyph itself, it comes from the Greek word, which means holy writing. And a lot of the hieroglyphs that are left today, we find in Egyptian temples or pyramids, and a lot of them were actually sacred writings for them. So they were used, as I said, in temples and pyramids, on official documents. They were not written by the common folk like you and I. People who wrote them were scribes, and they would go to years and years of training in order to write hieroglyphs. There are thousands of different symbols that they use in their language, so it would have taken a very long time to master all of them. They carved them into stones, as you can see on these pillars here. So they carved them into stones or tablets, sometimes metal and wood. Sometimes they would paint them in a very simple form, like you would see in our alphabet. And sometimes they were more elaborate and decorative, and they would use colors such as red, blue, gold. So they can be very, very basic. They could also be very elaborate. Most common one, so the Rosetta Stone. So back in Egyptian times, the hieroglyphs are what we call a dead language now, meaning nobody speaks it anymore. It is very something of the past. They eventually became lost in the late BCs, early 80s. And eventually we still had the hieroglyphs, but no one was able to read them. So even I know in the Middle Times the Middle Ages, Dark Ages, they were trying to figure out how to read them, but they just couldn't. So eventually in the 1700s, so 1779, Napoleon and his soldiers were in Egypt. They found different Egyptian artifacts. One of them that they discovered was the Rosetta Stone. It's that middle one right there. And what was so breaking through about the Rosetta Stone is it had the same text written in three different languages. So at the very top, these are the hieroglyphs here written in ancient Egypt. The middle one here is Demotic, which is a variation of the ancient Egypt. And then we also have ancient Greek down in there. And the reason why is because, I mean, you look at it and you're like, Greek, why is there Greek on there when we've got two other things? So in this period of time, Egypt was controlled a little bit by the Greeks. So this is a decree from Ptolemy. It was mainly about taxes and other kind of things. So in that time, they had it written in three different ways so that all of their people could understand it. So for the longest time, people had looked at these pictures and these Egyptian hieroglyphs, and they thought they were basically symbols. So like a house represented a house, the bird represented a bird, and so forth. Exactly. We have lots and lots of, so this is what we call pictograms, meaning the picture is the means what it looks like the house is a house. So we have a lot of this in our culture today. So if I were to send you a text, something like this, where we've got the smiley crying emoji and then like the hand thing there, what does this mean, roughly?
Yep. You're so excited.
Yeah, the hand's like, yes.
So the Rosetta Stone, like, what does it write about?
So it's a little bit about taxes, a little bit about how great their leader was at the time. Okay, yeah.
Did it help translate the hieroglyphics?
Mm-hmm. Yep, so we're getting to that point. Yes.
Actually, it was a kind of a little bit, well, not to be too nerdy, but the Rosetta Stone was kind of like a thank you note from like the Greek ruler at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like the priest wanted to thank the king for giving them all these riches and taxes. And so they were just sending a thank you note, like, look how awesome this king is.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. All right, so we've got more emojis. What are these ones?
Horrified.
The horrified. I can't believe that just happened. I use that one probably way too much. And then, then we got the facepalm. So looking at these, are all pictograms, ideograms. Looking at them, because we use them in our culture so much, you know exactly what they mean. I mean, so it's not something that you spell out. And so this is what they thought hieroglyphs were like. So there were lots and lots of people who contributed to the eventual breakthrough. The main one we're going to talk about is Jean-François Jean-Paulhan. There were several others. He was not the original who came up that maybe the hieroglyphs were not really pictograms, but maybe they represented sound. He was not the first one to come up with that, but he was one of the ones who did believe it might actually be an alphabet like we use nowadays. So he eventually discovered that in 1822. He figured out how to do it, and he published a pamphlet on it. And he knew how to read both ancient Greek and the Demotic. And so from figuring out a couple words from there, he was able to figure out how to do the hieroglyphs. So that's what we're going to do right now. In the hieroglyphs, this little oval here with the line at the end, it's not the best drawing, it's a cartouche. So in it is contained the names of different leaders, different rulers, different pharaohs. Jean-Paulhan, he saw Ptolemy's name, so this is the name for Ptolemy. You can see it up there in the Greek, so he knew what it looked like in Greek, he knew what it looked like in Demotic, and he found what he thought was the hieroglyphs the name in the hieroglyphs. So he was able to put each letter to there and figure it out. So that's what we're gonna do too. Okay, so this is Ptolemy in English, the Ptolemyes. So if we just quickly draw that cartouche here, this is a terrible drawing. So we've got a square, this little hump here, this, then the lion. Okay, so we're gonna be detectives ourselves. Very, very bad drawing. Okay, so from this, so this does read left to right. Okay, so which one do you think here is the P? The very first letter.
I think it's the square.
The square, okay, yep.
And the oval with the sound.
The next one would be a T. Yep, and then we've got this O here.
L.
L, which one?
Lion.
The lion, yep.
M for
four. Yep, this one. So this is actually, it's supposed to represent a hairpin.
Y is for four.
Yeah. And then this last one is an S. And he was actually, so that's what he did, and he was actually, those are actually the correct ones. So he kept doing this. So he went through the different names, the different letters, and he was able to piece together fairly correctly the ideas. Yep, so we got that there. Okay, I want you to do this one on your own. This is the name for Cleopatra. Here, let me spell it in English. If you would like, you definitely can. Okay, Cleopatra. So, Cleopatra.
I think I can see it from here.
Yep.
The C is that little weird triangle up at the top left, and the L is the lion.
Yep.
The E must be that weird.
It's a feather. That's what it's supposed to represent,
And then I see the O again.
Yep, you see the O again. Yeah, so a lot of these in here we've already seen. We've seen that line, we've seen the O, the square.
And then the P, and then the square is the P.
Mm-hmm.
That bird must be the R.
This one, this bird here, that's an A, so it goes P, A.
The
R.
The bird is an A.
Yep, the bird is A.
There's two of them.
Mm-hmm. This one's actually a D, so
Cleopatra.
Yeah, so Cleopatra, so it was more phonetic. Yep, but very close. So you could see just by doing this, he was very, very close to that.
Why is there a line on top of the head of one bird and then not the other?
Because it's a different species of
bird. So those are actually, those are two different A's. One is the A and one is the S kind of sound.
Cleopatra.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Cleopatra.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Cleopatra. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could tell it was very close, very close. And my drawing of hieroglyphs is not the best. I'm sorry. All right. So this is the basic Egyptian alphabet. It didn't really kind of look like this. Like I said, they had lots and lots of different symbols. But this is kind of what we pieced together for our own selves, kind of to make us feel good about to just the way it compares to English. And
it's
there
not
was
in alphabetical order.
No, it's not.
Right, so they have two A's?
Yeah, so one was like a long A, one's a short A.
So the long A is a long arm and the A is a short verb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's two N's too.
Yeah.
And there's two U W's.
Yeah. So
but
the
two N's. N's doesn't make two different sounds.
Yeah, so they all make slightly different sounds.
Which is really weird.
Yep.
Yep, so there are different types of hieroglyphs. Some of them are phonographs, meaning it makes a sound like those. So like the ones we just saw, like the bird doesn't really mean bird, it means ah or ah. And so you can have hieroglyphs that represent one letter, they can represent two letters, three, or sometimes four or five. You can also have the ideograms or pictograms, which means they're like the emojis, you know, the house represents the house, the bird represents the bird. And then you can also have determinatives. And determinatives, they kind of, they help you understand the content of the hieroglyphs. So these are determinatives. So you would have, there's a lot. This is just a very few amount of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this kind of gives you an idea. So, example, in the English language, we have this word here, B-O-W.
Bow.
Bow. It could be bow. It could be bow, like a bow and arrow. It could be like a bow that you tie. So, I mean, this word itself, just by itself, you don't really know the contents of it. It could mean a lot of things. So the same thing with the determinative. So we could put a bow here. It's a bow. Yeah. So that kind of clears it up that this is that kind of bow. Here we go. We've got like a bow and arrow here.
The house is just.
Yeah. So that's what determinatives do. They kind of give you, they put it into context. So they help you understand this is the kind of word we're talking about here.
House is so funny.
The house, yeah, that's kind of like an aerial view of what their houses looked like. They had the flat rooftop there. So we've got man, person, woman, God, king, eat, speak, drink, anything that has to do with the mouth. So you can see he's pointing towards the mouth. I see anything that has to do with your eye. The little bread cake down there. Yeah, again, so some of these are very cultural for them. In our time, like the plant flower up there, I mean, it'd be hard. We don't really see plants or flowers like that. Yes?
How does think have to do with the mouth?
The mouth?
No, look, you're doing this.
There you go. You're thinking like that.
Or this.
There you go. Okay, reading directions.
You're thinking those.
All right, so in English, we read from left to right pretty much all the time.
Right to left.
So in hieroglyphs, you can read left to right to left, up, down, so lots of ways. So you determine the way you read the directions by the way the hieroglyphs are facing. So if they're facing to the left, you read from left to right. So like this one over here. So you can see that this man at the very end, he is facing the left. So you start at the left. And sometimes there are hieroglyphs on top of each other, you always go top down. So the way we would read this is the feather and this one. So you would read one, here we go, let's use a different color marker. So yeah, so we go left to right, you would read one, two, three, four.
So basically, if there's a person in the hieroglyphic representations, and whatever way it's facing, that's the way you read.
Yep, basically, yep.
What
yep.
if there isn't like a person represented?
Well, so if it's not a person, so you see this feather type one, it's also facing that way. So that's a turn. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's one way. So this one, that one's a little blurry. Yeah, so the way they wrote hieroglyphs, I mean, in English, we write one after the other, all in one very straight line. And hieroglyphs, they would sometimes have them on the columns, they would have them on chess. And so if you're writing something on a column, you can't really write something all out in one straight line. So they would make different boxes and squares, and they would fit them all in that. So that's why sometimes you're going top to bottom, or left to right, right to left. So for this one, you would start at the very top here and see how that's facing the left. That little hook up the air is facing the left. These feathers here are facing the left. So you would, yep. So you read left to right. So you would read this one first and then you go to the top and that one.
The dude with what looks like a fishing pole down to the bottom right, he's also facing the
left. Yep, yep. So you read it left to right. Okay, so if you see how they're facing the same way, or the opposite way, sorry.
There's a smiley face.
Yeah, it kind of does look like a smiley face, yeah. So this one, you would read right to left, and you'd start at the very top. So you'd start at this column here, or this row here, you'd read that one, and then this one, and this one, and then that one. Okay, this one, and the same thing. Since they're all facing to the right, you would read it right to left.
Why did they change direction?
Sometimes they're very big into art, into writing. They're very picky, yes. So sometimes you would have like columns like here, and they wanted them to mirror each other. So you would have some of them like facing inwards this way and then that way. So it was more artistic looking. The Egyptians were very, especially with the hieroglyphs, they were very all about art, very all about aesthetic and how it looked. So everything they do is just to be visually pleasing.
I see some I recognize from earlier. The king, the feather, the man. I see what looks like a snake in between that line and what looks like an owl.
Yeah, that's a snake. Okay, so
there's like an ear of a rabbit behind the owl.
Ibis.
Do they even have rabbits in Egypt?
That I do not know. Okay, so we're going to do a little exercise with this one. Okay, so which way?
That would go from the left.
Left to right, correct. Okay, so what's the first one we read?
The ibis.
Swan. Yep, the ibis. And then what's next?
The furry thingy that
I yeah, so water. That's water. Yep, water, correct. And then
the snake.
And then
the feathers.
That one, yep.
Bird, owl.
And then this one. This is actually all one.
House with a column in the middle.
Yeah. Good job. Okay, we'll do another one. Okay.
Water.
Snake. Stick. Owl.
Dolphin.
Spider.
That next one looks like a pillar with like a snake coming up it.
So that one, that's a determinative. So it's, again, I'm sorry, my hieroglyphs are not very good. So, but basically, it's a scroll. Yeah, so it's a scroll. It's like a folded scroll. Yeah. So that's a determinative, which means anything about knowledge or an idea. Yeah. Okay, then we would read.
The pit or the t sound. I can't remember. The P or the T is next. The hump.
The T. Yep. Good job.
And then
the jar, and then that one, and that one.
So what does that say?
This is something about the honey is sweet, I want to say, I believe. Okay.
Like, I know the honey is sweet. Something about a dragonfly.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so I want you to get out your pencils now. We'll do another little exercise. So good job. Yep, so you know left to right. So if we were to write in English, it would look something like that. All right, in one word. So it would be like this. You know, all straight in one word. But they like to keep it very concise, very put together, very artistic. So I want you to draw a rectangle like that. And we're going to practice writing it within that box. So it'll go from the top to the bottom.
Oh.
And it can read either left to right, right to left, however you like. No, we're going to draw this sentence here.
Oh. What is that sentence?
It means the honey is sweet.
The honey is...
Yep.
Whatever. There's water at the end and the beginning, though.
Honey has nothing to do with water.
Yeah, so again, these don't represent actual water. This would use the alphabet right here. And it's not written in English. It is actually written in whatever way you want it. Just make sure it reads top down if you want it to go left to right, right to left. Just do your best. We'll work through it together.
We do it from left to right, and then we go to like the next row after that?
Yeah, so you would start, so when doing top to bottom, you would do a row, and then a row, and a row, and a row.
Can you do like more than one single in a row?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Show us. Thank you. Awesome class sharing. Thanks. Okay, is anybody done? You want to show us?
No, I just wanted to know what R was.
Oh, the R is the mouth. So it's a little hoop thing.
Yeah. I'm done.
Okay, you're done. Let's see. Okay, awesome. Yep. So she's got the water and the snake, and then she's got three over here. I don't know how well you guys can see this. And then another three, and then one at the bottom. That's awesome. There's really no right or wrong answer here.
Mine's a little bit crowded.
That's okay. That's okay. Awesome. Yeah, great. Yep, you could have even moved that one over there to make a little more room, but awesome. It's okay. It's okay. No, it's good.
I'm not going to show
yours. Okay, you don't have to show yours. Okay, awesome. Yeah. So one way we can do this, here we go. So we've got, and when writing letters, you know how we have like bigger letters and smaller letters and they mean different things. When in hieroglyphs, when you make it bigger, smaller, it doesn't change the meaning. It's just, again, to fit it in to make it look better. Okay, so here's one way we could do it. We could do the water, and then, actually, I think I have a slide on this. Yep, so there's one way we can do it. And you see how it's like all nicely boxed in right there? Yeah, so that's one way to do it. You guys were super close to that. And again, there's no wrong or right answer. Yeah, so that would be top to bottom. This would be left to right. But you see, it's no longer just in a straight line. They're just closing everything off and putting it together as tight as they can.
On the top, there's two of the half circles, mm-hmm. and then the base is underneath. Wasn't the base in between them?
Okay, so we had, yeah, so we had that, and then.
It goes from top.
Yeah, so remember, you read from top to bottom, so you're not reading it like this. You're reading top to bottom. So you would read this, then this, then this, 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 this.
Do you know if like there's like a shorthand?
There is, yes. The Heretic is more shorthand, but the hieroglyphs that we're studying today, it was all very about being very elaborate and taking your time and making it beautiful. So that's what we're studying today. But yes, they definitely had a shorthand, and then they had a shorter shorthand. So this is not something that you would like write your papers with or do your taxes in. This was reserved for like the temples and the pyramids and like the very fancy of the fanciest stuff. Okay, so now we're gonna be writing our names. We're gonna learn how to write our names.
Yes.
Yes, are we excited? Okay, awesome.
Ooh.
Okay. Okay, so here, I'll show you with my name first. Okay, so when writing it out, we're not gonna write it out. So I've got seven letters in my name. My name is Suzette. It's S-U-Z-E-T-T-E. So there's, I think, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So there's seven letters in that name. We're not gonna use all seven. What we're gonna do is we're gonna write it out phonetically. So what you hear. So you hear, so if we say Suzette, you hear like S, yep, O-O-Z. You don't hear these last two, so we're going to strike that out. So really what you hear is an S-U-Z-E-T. Yep, so what I want you to do that right now. So write out your name as it's spelled in English. So however you write your name, how do you spell your name, Miriam?
M-I-R-I-E-M-A-M.
Okay, so I hear Mir.
Mine's from 5 to 3.
I mean, you could do it like that. I mean, again, there's no wrong or right way, however you feel. Yes?
My name is England.
England?
Yeah.
Okay, so it would be as, so okay, so this is a long E. E. I would probably just keep it like that, yep.
My name is Thanos.
Thanos, okay.
It is?
Okay, great. So here we go. Let's do Thanos. Okay, so Thanos. Okay, so what is the first sound in Thanos? Is it a T? Is it an H? It's a TH sound, yeah. So you would circle that together. So Thanos.
F, F. It could be F.
Or it could be F. We'll say it's a th sound. Okay, then we have an A and then an N, O, S. So most of your names are going to be pretty similar already. Okay, I want you to write out your name. Do it how you think.
I already did.
Okay, great. So if you're ready for that, we'll go back. And I'm sorry there wasn't a printout of the alphabet in your thing. Okay, so we're going to go to the alphabet now. And as an example for Thanos, we're going to find the TH sound.
I don't see my last letter.
What is your last letter?
X.
X? Okay, so X, what does it sound most like?
A-L-E-X.
Is your name Alexander?
Yes.
Alex. Okay, so what you could do is add a K and then an S.
Yes.
So again, it's phonetically, it's not going to be exactly, there's no wrong or right to this.
What? Y and I are the same.
E.
E. Okay. There's no E. Okay.
And I got two E's.
You've got two E's? Okay, so yeah. I forgot. Thank you for bringing that up. Let's see.
Aw, I was just about to do it.
It's okay. It's okay. We'll get there. This. What I use. E. E. It's the feather.
Feather's an E?
Yeah. That one.
Okay.
And E's. Also, sometimes in Egyptian, they didn't use E's, so it was just let out.
You said that my name was pronounced with two E's, so I do two feathers?
No, that's the E sound.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can just use the feather there.
E.
Okay.
Can you go back, please?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Grace, did I hear Grace?
A.
Hold on.
S.
Yep. Or you, you could use the C, since it's a C, it's not a, so the C here, it would be a K.
S.
That's a soft C, so I would use an S.
S. Yeah, yeah.
Is there a different A that like sounds like A?
A-Y.
Yeah.
A?
Yeah, so this one would be, this first one here would be the long A, and this one would be the short A.
TJ? What's TJ?
DJ, so a J.
Oh. Oh, I got T. Okay.
Okay, again, do your best. It's not going to match up.
What is
the two U's are the same?
You could just use that.
What am I? The two U's, they are the
same. Okay, we're going to move on. Oh, you're not done? I'm sorry. Okay, I'll keep this up for you. Okay, so once we've got your letters out. Okay, so this would be my name, the little bird here. This one you can use a Z. It's a line with two dots in the middle, if you need a Z. Okay, so that would be written out in a straight line. So you can have a cartouche, and the cartouche, it was used for the royal names, and I think we're all pretty royal, so we all deserve a cartouche. So it can, yeah, absolutely. So it can either be done laying down or standing up, however you like.
What exactly is a cartouche?
So a cartouche, it was a hieroglyph they used to encapsulate the royal names or names of gods or very special people.
We are very special
people. Yes, we are.
Basically,
yeah.
they outline the name.
Basically, yeah. Just to make it extra, this is important right here. It's kind of like when you circle something or highlight it. This is what we want right here. Yeah.
So we want you to see.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and then... Okay, it's okay, it's okay. All right, so yeah, so this would be the name written out long ways, but again, we want to do it here. I'll do it upright here. The upright doesn't fit there. Okay. Ooh, upright, here we go. Okay, so just to make it fit, and again, this is something you can play around with. There's no wrong or right answer. This is how I do my name, so it all nicely fits in there. Anyone able to finish that? We got one? You got yours? An S, okay, so the S is this one.
That's my name.
Just the hook?
Yep, the hook.
I don't have an L or an A.
Okay, then A. L is in lion.
Lion, what's
this?
Like a long A, like A.
No.
Big bird.
England.
Yeah, the big bird.
Do a
big
bird.
No,
my A is silent. So what's an N? N.
Wait,
K.
Oh,
is it?
It's N. It's a little pharaoh hat.
Nile.
Yep.
It's an old Nile hat. What about K? This?
We have 10 minutes.
I know. We'll finish up our names.
Can you do your second name?
My second name, my last name. Ooh. Okay, we have 10 minutes left. Do you want to keep working on your names, or do you want to move forward?
Let's move forward.
Okay, hand if you want to move forward. Okay, hand if you want to name. Okay, we'll move forward. Okay, we only have.
Looks like I'm not doing
that. Again, this is a very, very basic crash course. If we had more time, we would go more in depth.
Yep.
And if you really want help with your name afterwards, come see me. I'll help you out. Okay, this is very basic numbers. So again, they had hieroglyphs. For numbers.
That's just the counting.
Yep. It looks pretty similar to what we have. Really, the only difference is this little plant here that looks like it's about like a Pac-Man little plant here. That's 1,000. This is a finger. I don't know if you can see that very well, but that's what it's supposed to look like.
Really long finger.
They really are. I mean, look at that. That is so sad. Look at my little finger. The frog is worth 100,000. Who decided a frog is 100,000? I don't know.
I'll give you a frog. Well, a frog is.
And then the little man doing that is 1,000,000. A million. Okay, so very basic sentence structure. Okay, so they would write it verb, subject, and then the object.
34.
So 34, okay, let's do that.
10.
Okay, so if you wanted 34, yep, so you would do through that. So yeah, so, yep, exactly. Yep, so they would just add up. So if you needed, yep, so that would be 30. So 30, you would just keep going, 40. That would be 60. That's kind of like your Roman numerals, if anyone's done those before.
Yeah. Right,
Roman numerals don't make sense to me.
Well, we just put it into Egyptian form here. The little curly things, those are 10. Here we go. So I'll write it on the board. Here we go. Okay, so we got finger, Pac-Man plant, swirl. They kind of look like croquet wickets. Okay, so finger is worth how many? 10,000. So 10,000 plus 10,000. So we have 20,000.
21,237.
Yep. So if you want to go to more, so this top website here, discoveringegypt.com, super great if you're into Egypt. It does, has different temples that have been reconstructed in a 3D model that are fun to explore. It has history stories, mythology stories. It has a typewriter, which I can show you real fast. Okay, so it's discoveringegypt.com.
What was the second one?
And the other one is lingojam.com. We'll show you that. Okay, so here's the typewriter. So it's got your QWERTY typewriter right here and then the equivalent to it.
Ooh, that's cool.
So, yeah. Okay, and then this one, lingojam.com, is a hieroglyphic translator. So it's not going to put it into ancient Egyptian, but it's going to put it into there. Okay, so what's your name?
William.
There you go.
Wow, that's complicated.
What about my name?
England. Lee? Yeah. L-E-E?
Yeah.
Wyatt.
Zach. There you go.
Wyatt.
Zach.
Okay, hold on. We don't have time for all this. Sorry. Yeah, come see me afterwards, okay? So those two sites are really great. All right, so wrapping up. So as you can see, we couldn't very easily fit all of that into 45 minutes. I'm sorry. If you want more info, come to me. Again, it's super, super fun. Check out your library with parents' permission. Look at stuff on the internet. There's lots and lots to help you do more of this. So if it's something you're interested in, go explore, go have fun. Thanks so much, guys, for being here.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.